for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Shit like a homeless man trying to change his life. We do it so fresh, and we do what the fuck we want to do. Yo,
the Green Room is brought to you today by LegalZoom.com, the leader in self-help legal documents. Be sure to use referral code GREEN to get a discount at checkout. And now, live from Studio City, California, the host of The Green Room, Sean Green.
All right, we are doing it here live on LATalkRadio.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into The Green Room. I'm your host, obviously, Sean Green. Wow, what a program do we have for you today. Obviously, this program is pre-tape. We're live to tape. As this show is airing, I'm going to be in Ireland, going over to Ireland to visit the homeland as an Irish person. Well, not really Irish. Obviously American. I'm just going to visit, you know, Sean Green, you know, heritage in Ireland, obviously. I'm really looking forward to the trip. It's like a 10-day trip with my entire family going through the entire country of Ireland. Logan, you ever travel abroad? You ever go overseas?
Absolutely. Never been to Ireland, though.
Where'd you go?
I've been to London, Paris, Madrid, and some place in Germany. Oh, Berlin. No, it wasn't Berlin.
Who'd you go over to Europe with?
My family. My dad, growing up, was a pilot for Delta, so we got free trips.
Nice. How was it? How old were you when you were overseas or traveling through Europe?
We went once when I was little, and then once for my... It was the second time when we went to London and Paris, and maybe that's all where we went. We went as a family again... Senior year of high school. That was my graduation present.
So senior year of high school. How were the ladies over there? What was their take?
Paris was nice. There were a lot of Americans in Paris too, though.
Did you find French women? They were turned on by Americans. It was like a novelty. Like, oh my God, there's Logan Leistikow.
Oh,
American.
No, they were so annoyed and sick of Americans.
Oh, so they were not. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Everything I hear, obviously it's that stereotype, is that French people hate America.
That's
and then you
experience.
Go over there.
Yeah. I don't think they hate
it seems
Americans
to be,
or hate America, but they just hate... It's like living in Hollywood. There's this attitude against tourists.
Right,
know?
They're anti...
Yeah.
Anti-tourists.
Everyone's like, oh, I guess I'm the only, a tourist. Ooh, I'm from the Midwest.
I guess,
big deal, there's a star on the side of
I guess
it's
the
like,
only
well,
difference is the tourists in Hollywood, they never saved Hollywood from the Nazis. So I think, like, you know, they some respect should still be granted. I mean, if yeah. really, let's...
Well, we pay all their bills in Paris, too. I mean, with the whole tourism. I mean, that's what makes the most money over there.
Really? Tourism is the leading industry over there in Europe?
I assume. I don't know.
Over there in France, the leading industry? Well, I'm just excited to go to Ireland. I'm hoping, going with my family, I'm hoping my dad will drink whiskey. My dad... crazy guy. Whiskey is not something normally drinks. Normally he's just a beer guy. But I'm dying to drink some whiskey with him. I was thinking about the last time I saw my dad drink hard liquor was my uncle's bachelor party. Well, first off, it wasn't even... Bachelor party is kind of a... I mean, it wasn't really a bachelor party. It was a bachelorette party because my uncle got married later in life. But yeah, I just remember my dad walking around with a beaded necklace with a shot glass attached to it. Just challenge people to take shots of Jameson. One thing leads to another. I end up wrestling my uncle in his backyard, and I end up pinning him. And that was like a turning point in our relationship with me and my uncle. That was the last time things ever came to blows. So I'm looking forward to seeing my dad, you know, getting drunk again off liquor. He tells these stories about like him drinking hard liquor, and just drink beer. Never drink hard liquor. Yeah, last time I drank hard liquor, was in college, and yeah, I think next thing you know, a TV was going out the second story window. I was like,
"There's
say,
no story."
No,
from
it was
to
just
point
like
point A from to point B.
You know, one thing led to another. TV went out the second floor window, and it was funny because he didn't say who threw the TV out the window, so it just leads me to leave. It was definitely my dad chucking the TV out the window.
Wow.
Another great story that my dad told. He was in the Air Force, and this was early on in his I don't think he'd mind me telling this story. Early on in his marriage to my mom, they were out at a bar, and I guess there were these three pilots there. You know, these pilots running their mouth. My dad, engineer in the Air Force, and you know, he's eyeing them up, and he challenges them to a drinking contest. And pilots are known for their ability to drink, but not even individually. He challenges them collectively to a drinking contest. So, like, for every one shot that each pilot took, there's three of them. My dad would take three shots. Cut to my dad having to be dragged home from the bar, passing out in a snowbank. My mom. Oh, and then he...
Why would you even... That's crazy.
He was a man on a mission, Logan. He was a patriot. And then he ended up shitting the bed because he was that drunk. And my mom said to me, when they were telling this story, my mom said, that was the one and only time I considered divorcing your father.
Wow.
I've had a couple stories like that in my own history. Oh, okay, guys. I'm going to save that story for another time. I'm going to welcome my guest to the program, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Doctor, thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Just, yeah, there you go. Bring that microphone to your...
like this?
Yep, there you go. For those of you guys, I haven't even gotten to your background yet. Here, why don't we... You're here. Why don't you give us your background, Dr. Bruce? Why are you here today?
I hate talking about myself.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll fine. That's I'll talk about you. Dr. Bruce is he's a doctor in dental surgery. He has his master's in counseling psychology, and you know, he started off using hypnosis on his dental patients, and now he's kind of progressed to the point where he's using hypnotherapy for past life and future life regression, and I brought him in today to do some work on my roommate Ryan and talk about what he has coming up in the future. Well, first off, thank you, Dr. Bruce, for coming out. You can learn more about Dr. Bruce at drbrucegoldberg.com, but thanks for coming on the program, Dr. Bruce.
I appreciate it. For those of your listeners that want to be entertained with hypnosis or have a...
Sorry, Logan will help you with the mic.
Okay, no problem.
There we go. Now we're ready to go.
Okay. All right. For your listeners, my website is D as in David, R as in Robert, then you spell BruceGoldberg.com.
You got it.
There are plenty of exercises on there. There's videos showing actual people going into past and future lives. There's Jerry Springer's past life when I did his show.
Now, what was Jerry Springer's past life like?
Jerry was cool. Jerry was actually... Now, this is interesting. This is what I call karmic family values, and I'll show you what goes on.
Okay.
Jerry was think of like a policeman, a knight, back in the early 1600s in England.
Wow. So Jerry Springer was a knight in a past life.
And he was not bad during the day either, but... okay. He...
All right. That was a great line.
All right. Take my lives, please. So... what happened was Jerry was patrolling the countryside with his merry men. He was like a, you know, not a soldier, but like a knight.
All right.
And then he sees the proverbial damsel in distress being attacked by swordsmen.
Wow.
Jerry's men were outnumbered, so in those days might means right, and Jerry's men were defeated, if you will. They were hurt, and some of them were killed. Jerry was not, but he was very severely wounded defending the honor of this woman. She survives, okay? The bad guys leave. Jerry is now injured. The woman who he saved takes him into the castle, lived by not far from where she was attacked, where she lived. And Jerry was made like a butler because he couldn't be a knight anymore. He was like didn't have workman's comp in those days.
Okay? No workman's comp in the Middle Ages.
So what happened was that actually this is the Renaissance, but it's okay.
Okay, sorry.
So what happens is that so she extended his life because he obviously had a job and she took care of him.
Right. So she kind of scratched his back because he took care of her and saved her life.
Right. And he scratched her back, too, but that's another story.
So you're saying, do you think that's a related...
It gets better. Let me complete it now. So what happens is that, so he lives several years, and eventually he dies. Now, I asked Jerry, I took him to what we call the higher self, as I did with Ryan, to overview the life. If you've known the woman that you saved and who extended your life, in your current life, who is she? It's his current life daughter, Kirsty.
Wow. So you're saying the daughter he ended up, or the woman he ended up saving, the damsel in distress, mm-hmm. ended up becoming his daughter. Now, do you think he was rewarded in this life for his great deeds in the past life? Like, that's why he has such an awesome life now?
Well, I mean, he was Jerry. Look, I work with Jerry. Jerry is, he's an attorney. He's got a master's in journalism. He was a two-time mayor of city council member of Cincinnati, Ohio. He was a two-time term mayor, newscaster. So Jerry has a very interesting life. He's a very good guy. I mean, this guy really has a lot of charitable things in him. He does a lot of causes. He's a very interesting guy. I realize he runs a crazy show, but on a personal level, I have a lot of respect for him. So yes, I think he was rewarded for that. But at the same time, there's a future life. I did something. Now, I created the field. In 1977, I asked a patient to go to the origin of a problem, and she went to the 23rd century, and that was the birth of progression hypnotherapy.
Oh, wow.
So Jerry said, can you take me into a future life? And I said, sure. So now Jerry is, about 100 years from now, he's Montana Bobby. And this is what his life is like.
All right.
He's a farmer providing food stuff to a moon base we have. And he makes these sorties from the earth to the moon to, do the North 40, like a bonanza kind of thing.
Okay.
So what happens one fine day when he's coming back on a satellite, one of these space ships, coming back, his ship or his satellite thing crashes into the water and he drowns in his future life in about the year 2088.
Jesus Christ.
The reason why that's relevant is that Jerry today loves to go to a country club. He loves to go off a high board to go swimming, except he freaks out when he gets on the high board. He's got a fear of heights and a fear of water, not because of anything in this life, but because of his future life death in 100 plus years as Montana Bobby.
So you're saying that things that happen to us in our past lives and will happen to us in our future lives are directly connected to this current life?
Right. That's my practice.
That's the basis of the practice?
I have a therapeutic practice in Woodland Hills. It's an international practice, and that's exactly what I work with. So in other words, the point here is that your future can cause problems as well as your past. Now, here's an example of how people say, why is going to the future relevant? Let me give you the classic case. This is a real case reported in several of my books. A woman by the name, I'll call her Tammy, not her real name.
Okay.
We have to go back to 1996. Okay?
Sure.
This is early June 1996. Tammy is a resident of New York City. She just graduated from college, and she's going to go to graduate school in the fall. So in the last half of the summer, she's going to go to Europe with her friends, hang out, and come back and go to school. She comes to me in early June to train to learn how to go out-of-body experiences, which I do. Okay. When you do that, you're now entering what we call the space-time continuum, and you can see past, present, or future events. So while she's in my office for the 5 days in June of 1996, she sees little things happening in Los Angeles while she's here. Like, for example, on a Monday, she sees herself going to a bookstore, meeting a guy with a tie-dye shirt and, having dinner with the guy, right? Now, she wouldn't know that. It happens.
And really?
She has four or five things happen during the week that she's here. Okay, so now we fast forward. She goes back to New York. She's going to have a nice, fun trip. She's plans to go to Paris in July of 96, and no problem. So she calls me now the end of June. She goes, Doctor, this is Tammy. I have an emergency. And I said, Tammy, I retired from dentistry. Like, wait a minute. What's going on? And she said, well, I used your tapes, and I went into my out-of-body thing, and what happened was I saw myself taking off of my plane for JFK to go to Paris. The plane goes up from JFK, immediately crashes. I die. What do I do? And I said, Tammy, I don't want to run your life. I believe in psychic empowerment. Why don't you just change your flight plans and call me at the end of the summer? So she calls me at the end of August, right before Labor Day, and she goes, Doctor, this is Tammy. I had a great vacation, and she told me something I wish a patient would never tell me or say to me. She goes, you saved my life. And I said, I don't do
that.
That's
a lot of responsibility.
I said, I'm not God. What's going on? She goes,
you're just Dr. Bruce.
She was just Dr. Bruce. She was going to go on TWA Flight 800.
Now, wow.
For those of you that don't remember, July 17th, 1996,
TWA.
The flight immediately left JFK, went up in the air, crashed, 230 people died, all crew, all passengers. She would have been 231. So going into the future can literally save your life. Other people have used it to meet their soulmate, for business relationships, for personal things.
NFL
avoid
picks.
Catastrophes, NFL picks, yeah. So there's a lot of positivity to doing it. Now, my latest book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, subtitled Parallel Universes, Teleportation, and Out-of-Body Travel, gives you exercises and case histories that people have gone
now when you
past
say,
lives, but future too.
When you say time travel, it's not a physical time travel. It's a mental time traveling, correct?
Actually, no. It's actually both. You have both the physical time travel, and you also have teleportation. People can actually, physical time travel, they can actually do an out-of-body experience like a remote viewing. They can go from one place to another in their astral body, their spiritual body.
Okay.
But I also do things like teleportation, where people's physical body moves from one location to another. Okay.
Now, that seems hard to believe. How are you able to pull off a physical body going from one place to another place?
It's not a predictable thing. It's not something you can do on the spur of the moment. But let me give you a personal example.
Sure.
We have to go back many years ago when I was on the East Coast.
Okay.
I had a great vacation many years ago in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Now, I used to live in Baltimore. I went to dental school there, and I practiced there for 13 years. So it's a cold winter's day. It's between Christmas and New Year's at the end of December of 1980. In this case, it was 85. And it was cold out. It was like 12 degrees. And I said to myself, I wish I was in Jamaica. So I took I have a whole bunch of CDs and tapes and everything all on my site. So I took my teleportation tape out.
Okay.
And I said, I want to teleport to Jamaica to have a vacation.
Right.
So it's a Sunday morning. My three dogs at the time are looking at me weird. I'm dressing in my bathing suit. Remember, your whole body goes. So I'm dressing in my bathing suit. Right? Wait, it gets better.
No, I know. I got
my copper tone. Okay.
Okay.
Got my little radio. Right.
I like that. You're
got
planning
towel,
ahead.
Right.
You don't need skin cancer. You got enough problems.
I'm lying on the couch. It's a Sunday morning. Late
right.
Sunday morning. And the next thing I know, I see myself on the beach in Montego Bay. It's a kind of deserted part of the beach. There's a cute little brunette on a towel like a college student.
See, look at that. Teleportation, you're getting laid. I like that.
It gets better. So now what happens is this woman looks at me. She's about 22 years old. And she looks at me. She goes, where did you come from? I just looked. There was nobody here. And all of a sudden, bingo, you can't run that fast on the beach, you know? So I said, I move fast. So she goes, so we're talking. She goes, I said, do you mind if I put my towel down? She goes, no, okay.
I love this, though. You just teleported. You don't explain to her, oh, my God, I was just in my apartment in New York. No, you immediately, hey, maybe I can get some action here.
Well,
I like that, Dr.
If
Bruce.
I told
you're
that,
a real man.
If
I appreciate that.
If I told her that, I don't think she'd let me put the towel down.
Yeah.
So
might freak her out.
You don't want to
ruin your game.
We're swimming. We're enjoying the surf and everything. And now it's a couple of hours go by. And she tells me, she goes, how long are you going to be in town? And I said, well, my flight leaves soon. Okay? Now, the next thing
wink,
I know.
Wink, wink. She has
flying. Wait, hang in there. The next thing I know, I'm back in my home in Baltimore, okay?
Okay.
Not New York. Okay. Nice story. Okay.
Did you get her number?
Wait a minute. So now you say to myself, so people would say to me, they'd say, okay, doctor, look, that was either a, either an out-of-body experience or a dream or some sort of whatever. The problem is this, is that when I looked in the mirror in my living room, not only was my bathing suit wet and did I have sand in my little sneakers, but I had a suntan. You don't get a suntan in Baltimore on December 28th, okay?
No,
so
you don't.
So that's teleportation, okay?
Wow, Jesus Christ, that's crazy. That's crazy, Dr. Bruce. Now, Dr. Bruce, we brought in my roommate, Ryan, here. You were in the green room there doing some exercise, you said, to get him ready for...
Took him into a past life.
Yeah, so is that what we're going to try to do? We're going to
go back to the Civil War.
Civil War. Okay. We're going to get a look back into Ryan Kramer's past lives.
So President Obama, don't listen to this if you're out there, okay?
Oh, wow. Wow, maybe you did tap into something, because I know Ryan has been accused of being racially insensitive at times. But so you take
this won't be a racially insensitive thing. He's not going to be, he's not going to be sitting there with the doing anything weird. This is a very, very sensitive. he's a Yankee.
Okay,
you know,
he's a huge Yankees fan. Wow, I think you're tapping into something.
New Hampshire is his home. His name is Mick. He's a young soldier for the Union fighting in the Civil War. And we're going to take him through the death scene too. We're going to see how he died.
Okay. Do you need anything from Do you need anything from me or?
Just to be quiet.
Okay. I'll turn my mic and Logan's mic down and just have at it, Dr. Bruce.
Okay. All right, Ryan. Just close your eyes and just get yourself ready here. Just close your eyes. Just focus on my voice. 20, 20, 20. Deeply relaxed. So deeply relaxed. I'm going to count backwards from 10 to 1. And as I do, I want you to go back to the life as Mick during the Civil War. I want you to feel. Okay. Right, sure. I'd be comfortable. Okay? All right. As I count backwards from 10 to 1, I want you to go back into the nice, comfortable, relaxed, hypnotic level. And I want you to go back to the life as Mick during the Civil War on the count of 1. Number 10, moving back in time, feeling good and comfortable, so relaxed. 9, 8, number 7 now, number 6, letting information crystallize into your awareness, number 5, number 4, number 3, you are there, number 2, number 1, okay now, can you tell me what you perceive now at this time? You can answer questions and still remain in trance. Can you tell me where you find yourself?
Field.
Okay, and what's going on now?
Eating.
Okay. What is your name?
It's Mick.
Okay, Mick, and what is your occupation? What are you doing at this time?
Soldier.
Okay. And what color is your uniform?
Blue.
Okay. And how do you feel about the war itself?
Excited.
Okay. Where are you from, Mick? Where's your home state?
New Hampshire.
Okay. And what kind of environment? Tell me a little bit about your home. When you go, after the war is over, what will you go back to?
It's a farm.
It's a farm. Okay, very. All right, sleep now and rest now. Now what we're going to do, we're going to fast forward. After the war, we're going to take you back to when you return home to New Hampshire. And we're going to fast forward about 5 years in time and see what your life is like after the war. On the count of five. Number one, moving forward in time, safe and protected. Number two, farther forward. Number three, halfway there. Number four, almost there. Number five. Okay. All right, Mick, tell me what has happened since I last spoke with you.
The war has ended.
Okay. And tell me about your life now.
On a farm.
Okay. Do you have a family at this time?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I have a son.
Okay. And your wife, what kind of relationship do you have with your wife? How is that?
Family, friends.
Family, friends.
A long
friends.
Time.
Okay. All right. How would you describe your level of fulfillment now on the farm with your wife and your child?
It's good.
Okay. All right. All right. Sleep now and rest. Now we're going to go to the very last day of your life. You'll be safe and protected, but you'll be aware of the circumstances concerning the very last day of your life as Mick on the count of five. One, moving forward. Two, farther forward. Three, halfway there. Four, almost there. Number five. Okay, Mick, slowly and carefully, tell me what's going on now.
There's a fire.
Okay, and about how old are you at this time?
40.
Right, and where is the fire now?
It's in the barn.
Okay. And is this fire the result of the ending of your life? You die in the fire? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sleep now and rest now. Very good. Sleep now and rest. In just a moment, I'm going to count forwards from one to five. You'll have complete memories of this. You'll be returning back to the current awareness. You'll have complete memories, and you'll be able to review this or any other past lives or future experiences. Number one, you're very, very, very deep. Number two, you're getting a little bit lighter. Number three, you're getting much, much lighter. Number four, very, very light. Number five, awaken, wide awake, and refreshed. All right, how you doing?
All right, we're back.
Back. Now.
Wow.
Now, that's the regression. Now, for the benefit of your listeners, I'm going to be doing a workshop in Ontario, California here.
Yes, make sure
September
make 26th, sure we talk about that.
September 26th is going to be an all-day workshop about, in the morning we're going to be doing past life regressions and future life progressions, and in the afternoon we're going to be doing soul healing so people can work out issues, habits and phobias and finding Miss Right or Mr. Right or increasing their abundance, any issues that they have in life, anxiety, depression, whatever's going on. So I like to train people. Now, I've got a gift for you here. I've got a CD.
Oh, wow. Thank
you,
Dr. Bruce.
Into your own past life. So you can do this yourself and do exactly.
Oh, wow.
You can do it, Ryan.
You can do it to yourself?
Yes. It's called auto-hypnosis. You can do
oh,
it in the
wow.
car. Auto-hypnosis.
Do it you can car. Do it in the car? I don't know if I'd recommend that, Dr. Bruce.
it's a joke. Okay. All right.
Oh, okay. Now, Dr. Bruce, you say in your website here, it says 98% of hypnotherapy is done by the patient.
Right.
So essentially what? You're just the 2% that kind of triggers this natural...
Think of me as a personal hypnotic trainer. Basically, hypnosis, for the benefit of the listeners, when they drive in their cars in the freeway and they pass by the same exits on a routine trip and they don't
kind
remember...
Kind of self-hypnosis.
And you don't remember every single exit, every DMV and every
just,
police department.
Like, how'd I get there?
Right. That's a daydream. All daydreams are an alpha brainwave medically, and that's hypnosis. Meditation, yoga, biofeedback, psychocybin, all the same thing. It's the same yada yada. So basically, we go through hypnosis for 4 hours during the waking day, not consecutively, but bits and pieces at a time. And when you go to sleep at night, you actually dream for 3 hours, and that's another level of hypnosis. So every day, 7 hours out of every 24 hours, you spend in hypnosis naturally as a way of de-stressing us. That's 2,500 hours a year. So the average 40-year-old has spent 100,000 hours logging in hypnosis.
Jesus, okay? That's crazy.
So what I'm doing as a trainer, as a therapist, is to train the patient to access what we call the perfect part of their soul, their higher self. And in doing so, they can raise the quality of their soul's energy and overcome any problem. Or they can perceive past or future lives or any kind of fun stuff. For example, a very significant case of mine that was aired as a CBS movie called The Search for Grace, based on my second book. It's a documented case of reincarnation of a woman who is obsessively attracted to a man who tried to murder her on three different occasions, and she couldn't break up with this guy. Okay? This is a very bright woman.
This is in the current time, she's obsessed with this man
right.
who has tried to murder her, but she's still aroused.
There's an obsessive attraction with him. As it turns out, he actually murdered her 20 times in 46 past lives. The most recent one was in Buffalo.
This guy's on a tear. He's like a serial killer.
He's a psychic serial killer.
Exactly.
Okay.
Time-traveling serial killer.
So in 1927 in Buffalo, New York, he was a man named Jake. He was a bootlegger for the mafia, and she was a woman named Grace Doze. And at the time, they had an affair. She was married, had an affair, and he eventually killed her. And that was... Now, the interesting thing about this case is not just the fact that he killed her so many times, is that CBS's researcher fully documented this case. She gave me facts that were not corroborated by newspaper reports. As it turns out, she was right, the reporters were wrong, and they know that by going into the records.
So you're saying that they were actually able to kind of match up some of the things you talked about in these past life regressions with actual... newspaper clippings and stuff like that.
But the interesting thing is, say, anybody can read a newspaper clipping. She said things that were different from the newspaper clippings.
But then through further research, actually matched the story.
Listen, in California, public record, everything is public. But New York, it's a closed state, which means
sure.
you have to go through the health department, you have to go to the governor's office, it's a paper trail. Nobody did the check on this. So when she gave the facts that were correct, rather than what the newspaper said, she couldn't have known that. She would have given me the false data if all she did was read newspaper reports. So basically, this was a fully documented case, and it was a great movie.
You're talking about some of the other talk shows you've been on. You were a guest on the Oprah's program?
And Regis and Montel. And
now, describe, did you get in any past or future life regressions with Oprah? Because she seems... in this current life, she seems like a woman that has it all.
Yes.
Is that a result?
Well, when you're kind of a billionaire and you have a top-rated TV show, you kind of have it all.
No, exactly.
I didn't work with her. I worked with studio audience members. You don't really work with the host that often on these shows. Jerry was nice enough to do it, and so was Montel. But no, I worked on a studio audience member and took two different members into past lives on her show.
Wow, that's exciting. And now I was looking at also some of the titles of other works you've written. This one stuck out to me. Egypt and an Extraterrestrial and Time Traveler Experiment. What does that book cover?
That book covers the actual origin of the brilliant civilization of Egypt. And in Egypt, we think of Egypt as, you know, the Pyramid of Giza, which we couldn't recreate 30 years ago with modern technology, how brilliant that was. Their civilization was just amazing. Well, isn't it interesting how 4,000 mm-hmm. BC, which is 6,000 years ago, the rest of the world was living in caves. And Sumeria, which is now Iraq today, and Egypt especially, had medical schools, 4,000 BC, with 35 different specialties, okay? Well, everybody else is sitting there, ugga, ugga, climbing up trees. So how do they come up with this great advanced civilization?
Yeah.
How do they do all this?
Right, a lot of people are saying that it was aliens' help.
Well, ETs are involved, but my work is now very unique. I am the person who created the field, nonfiction, of dealing with time travelers from our future. This is our very own species from 1,000 to 3,000 years in the future.
So now, how do
back in time?
How do you connect to these time travelers from the future that are coming back? How do they know? Hey, I'm gonna connect with Dr. Bruce Goldberg in Woodland Hills. How do you guys meet up?
Because patients will actually these time travelers travel through what we call the fifth dimension, mm-hmm. and they actually communicate with my patients. I've also communicated with them. In fact, if your listeners want to communicate with a time traveler, I have what's called a Time Traveler Training Program, CD program, which allows them to actually access the fifth dimension and contact their own time travel. In fact, what I'd like to do for your audience is that,
sure.
because we're dealing with regression mostly, if your audience purchases my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book or any of my other books from my site and mentions the show,
okay.
I will send them a free past life regression
oh, wow.
CD like I'm giving you to go along with it.
And of course, okay. they can get that at drbrucegoldberg.com.
Now, if they don't have computers for any reason, some people you'd be surprised don't, they can call my 1-800-KARMA-FOR-YOU number, which is 1-800-527-6248, or 1-800-KARMA, the number 4, and the letter U.
Now, a lot of people, you're talking about aliens being involved in Egypt. A lot of people, or there's this common, or they say the Mayans predicted the end of the world being 2012, but it seems like you're talking about all this stuff going on past that 2012. Is there any?
Let me clear up 2012 right now.
Sure. Explain 2012 to the audience.
This is really annoying. A lot of people are ripping. this is a lot of people are ripping people
this,
off.
This mundane question.
Okay? I was a guest on a major radio show. You're familiar, I'm sure, with Coast to Coast with George Norrie and Art Bell.
Sure.
I was on there in November of 1999, and Art asked me, he said, what about Y2K? And I said, I'm going to tell you something that none of your guests would even think of doing. Y2OK, no problemos, not one thing is going to happen. Not one plane is going to crash, not one bank is going to go under.
I agreed. I saw through the Y2K.
And what happened? Nothing happened, okay?
Exactly.
And nobody else had the guts to do that. So here's what the Mayan calendar means. The Mayan calendar ends December 21st. It doesn't end. December 21st, 2012 is the end of their calendar, but you have to go back to August of 3114 BC when it began. That's exactly 1/5 of what we call the precession of the equinox. That's how long it takes our planet to go all around the solar system. It's 26,200 years. The Mayans knew that. So all this is on December 22nd of 2012. We're going to go into the second shift of that.
Oh, okay. So it's almost...
It's an artificial thing. Now, yes, there's planetary alignments. Okay, so you may have a few extra tsunamis or an earthquake. We get those every year anyway. No big deal. People, don't sell the farm, okay? Don't pack up and go to Riverside where the San Andreas Fault is, okay? It's going
to
be no
whatever
problem.
You do, don't go to Riverside. That's great advice for anyone, I think. Now, could you...
No problem. I want to take away this fear mentality. No,
sure.
2012 is going to be just another year.
Yeah, no that's problem. What I'm thinking. Okay? I'm predicting nothing bad's going to happen in 2012 or nothing... obviously, bad stuff will happen, but nothing more than the
usual
average.
Stuff. The world's not going to—it's not going to be Armageddon, and you're not going to have the Mayans or the ETs aren't going to come back and take everybody back to their planets. Okay, so don't worry about
now,
that.
Now, now obviously, 9/11 was a huge event in our American history. Do you have from your future life regressions with different patients? Do you see anything in the future, like a major cataclysmal event, nuclear war, anything like that?
Actually, we're going to go through the usual yada yadas with politicians and economic stuff, but actually, I see a very much, or my patients report, I should say, I've done thousands of progressions, actually pretty positive stuff coming up. You wait about another 10 years, go through all the junk, then you're going to have manned missions to Mars, you're going to have a bunch of technology, we're going to start curing some diseases, we're going to have a lot of computer aspects of treating things like
so you're
like
saying
Alzheimer's
smoke up,
stuff and,
smoke up, don't worry, we got no, cancer covered.
No, my point is, don't
is that,
do,
what, you're, is that guy, what you're imploring today, Dr.
Out
Bruce?
Out there, folks, put a big Ghostbuster X over the 420 out there, okay? Be cool.
So you're anti-weed?
Very anti-drugs. Okay. I believe in naturalness, like volleyball.
You get high naturally.
Okay?
I like that. All right. Now, would you be able to do a future life regression on Ryan?
I need to prepare it.
All right. That's fine. I was just curious.
Maybe when I reincarnate here, okay? How's that for a promo?
You reincarnate on another program.
No, on this one.
Oh, I meant...
If you're still around,
In a future program, I meant.
Okay.
Wow, that's exciting.
Now, remember
stuff,
now, the people who come to me, my typical patient is somebody who is, they have victimization issues, they have various self-defeating.
So they're trying to break the cycle.
Habits or phobias, they have all kinds of procrastinate, that's a major issue. And any of these issues, as long as they're motivated by using relatively simple techniques, they can overcome them. I work with people all day long doing this. This is what I do. The CDs, of course, that I have, they can do it themselves. A lot of these things are very simple to do. They can see some of the exercise and videos on the site. And again, the workshop is an all-day experience, which I would highly recommend because they can actually do a whole lot.
Okay, and that's September 26, 2009. And that's going to be at the Ontario Convention Center, 2000 Convention Center Way in Ontario, California. It's 10 to 6 p.m. Thank you very much, Dr. Bruce, for coming in. Really appreciate your time. We're going to do a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Ryan about his experiences and about his take on the past life regression. And
sure.
Thank you very much for your time, Bruce.
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you have any idea when this is going to air?
All right, everyone, you're listening to The Green Room. I decided to go with a little Zen break there. I had to talk to Dr. Bruce real quickly off the air. And, wow. Dr. Bruce is the self-help guy in past life and future life regressions and LegalZoom.com. They are the self-help expert in legal matters. If you're a guy like Dr. Bruce, you're starting your own business, you're writing books, selling CDs, cassettes. You need trademarks. You need patents. You need a doing business ads. You need a ton of products. You need, a ton of legal services taken care of. You don't want to go out there and spend full price. Yeah, you're a self-businessman. You know, you need some savings. LegalZoom.com, they're ready to give them to you. Savings are there. Okay? I know I can see the future. And I'm seeing savings in your future, audience. That's right. Because I know you're going to go to LegalZoom.com, check out one of the amazing products that LegalZoom has to offer, including trademarks, patents, wills. You know, sure, it's nice to know about the future life and the past life, but let's get this life in order. Get your will taken care of. August is will month, people. Kind of depressing, but let's be honest. You want your goods. You want your house. You want your kids. You want them taken care of. But why don't you save that little nest egg by going to LegalZoom.com? Reminder, LegalZoom is not a law firm. No, they're a self-help legal service. They provide self-help services at your discretion. And if you go to LegalZoom.com, which I'm seeing right now that you will, I know that you're going to enter green in the checkout code, and you're going to save yourself an additional $5. All right, well, we're back to the normally scheduled green room. Wow. What an amazing guest. Dr. Bruce Goldberg coming in here, mixing things up, talking about past life regressions, future life regressions. I'm seeing Logan working on his haiku for the end of the program. All right, Ryan. Lay it on me. What happened, Ryan?
Can I first start by saying that guy was insanely creepy?
Oh, okay. Well, he was a guest of the program, but all right. Eccentric. Eccentric, Ryan. We'll leave it at eccentric.
I got to say, that was... I totally thought it was hypnosis. Total bullshit, but...
All right, so let's...
I got to say, I fell for it.
No, I mean, I was looking over at Ryan. I kid you not, his neck was completely limp.
And I got to say, like, my neck is sore now, I think.
Yeah, it was weird, because his neck just...
You weren't in a comfortable position.
It just kind of was, like, hanging over to the side at an angle. So, all right, now take us through what happened. You go into the back room before the show started. You and Dr. Bruce start talking. What does he do to prepare you for the hypnosis?
So he, you know, your typical, I'm counting down from 20,
yeah.
19. Yeah. So he gets me going and he gets me all worked up. And
what do you mean by worked up exactly?
Oh, the opposite, calm down.
So he's just really just...
So basically it feels like I'm... It's more like he's telling me to inhale and take deep breaths and hold it. So I think in my head I'm like, all right, he's trying to get me to like start to pass out or something.
Yeah.
And then as I'm doing that, I start to... It feels like you're dozing. Like, imagine if you're tired watching TV and you're trying to watch the TV, but you keep closing
your eyes. So you're
kind
of in that zone of...
And I was trying... Like, I wasn't 100% trying to buy into it, but I started just... I was fighting it, and then it was...
He does have this real master of his words that are kind of... I was even getting tranced out when he was doing it to you, just the way he was speaking.
Oh, and he also had a metronome, or that's the...
Yeah, the thing that ticks
metronome
back and forth.
Playing on a tape recorder.
Oh,
so,
okay.
That might have helped out. But yeah, so I was fighting it, and then I kind of... I guess you would say I'm conscious during the whole thing, but it's like a dream.
See, that was weird, because when I saw you, you and Dr. Bruce came in, and I saw you sit down, I looked in your eyes, and it was a weird kind of, not necessarily glazed over, but like, kind of almost like this sleepwalking look.
It's, you know, I feel like I just took like a really long nap.
A power nap.
Yeah. Not a power nap, like the nap you wake up and you're still tired from, you know?
Oh, really? Now, it was weird, because you were sitting there, and while I was interviewing Dr. Bruce, or he was kind of interviewing himself, I was looking at you.
Well, let me finish, Sean.
listen here. It's dude, the headphones are on. I'm listening. Don't worry. The guy was a trip, man. So I was looking over at you, kind of trying to make eye contact to see if, like, hey, what's going on here? Was it weird or anything? And you were just... You're just real focused. And okay, so now, all right, what happens? You go, or like we just heard, he starts talking you down again, like he did in the back room, and describe the feeling.
Well, so it was weird, actually. I should mention that the first time in the back room, him talking me down was probably close to a couple minutes.
Right, yeah. And no, you, Ryan was in the...
The whole, like, bringing me down, like, because I was fighting it for a while, and then once I was out... It, honestly, it felt like I was dreaming for, you know, it's like when you dream right before you wake up. So
now, did you get hypnotized in the green room, too? Like, yeah, were you, okay, yeah. So you were already out in the green room. He brings you back up.
He had that page of notes of things that we had already talked about. And that's the only thing, honestly, I don't remember all of what he asked me. I do remember, it was really strange. I was dreaming that I was, the best way to describe it is, you ever seen The Gladiator? Where when he dies, he's hovering over the field. I felt like I was just hovering over this green field.
Okay, sorry. Now, that was the first experience.
Now, oh, yeah.
Okay, now you come in. Do you remember walking in,
yeah,
sitting
down?
Yeah,
no, I was told when he woke me up, I was totally
fine.
I was there, and I felt like I had just woken up from a dream.
Okay, then you're here again. Then,
so I sit down, and he does it again. Although, what he told me out there is once you get hypnotized once, it becomes easier and easier to get brought.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you seemed... I thought you were just kind of playing along, but you really conked out pretty early.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like if I was going to play along, I'd have something more interesting. The dream I had was pretty boring, it seemed like. I was just a soldier.
You were Mick. All right, so
yeah,
now,
and where does that come from? I would have come up with a way cooler name, too.
Well, it's funny. When he brought up the Civil War, I was like, oh, okay, Ryan's fighting for the South. I get it.
Yeah, it was especially strange because he told... Okay, I know nothing about the Civil War.
It would be hard to fake. So now you... Okay, we heard him...
But you knew that the Union wore blue, right? You at least knew that much, right?
Oh, that the Union lost the war? Is that what you're saying, Logan? Is it your
No, they wore blue. You
no, what he was talking about, the Union wore blue. You described your uniform.
I knew the uniform.
Now, okay, so now... Wait, let's just go through this real quick. He talks you down. You go to sleep. So now you're just saying, like, you're describing the experience as it's a dream, but you're... Is it like a dream where you're aware that you're dreaming?
Yeah, so it's kind of like when you try to go back to sleep to dream more.
Oh, okay, so you're trying...
Like, you know you're in this dream.
Now, was it the same dream that you were just in the earlier hypnotic state?
Yeah, slightly different. Same, like, person, though, I guess. Like, same area. Like,
same past life, you mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so now do you remember any of the questions that he asked you?
I remember him asking me what my name is, and I remember asking me what I'm wearing. But
so the rest of it, you don't remember all of it.
And I remember him asking if I died in the fire.
Okay, and now describe this dream. So do you remember dying in the fire, or do you think it was almost like you were dreaming and he was kind of moving you along in the dream?
So, yeah, the first dream outside, at one point in the dream, I kind of raised up above what was happening. Mm-hmm. So I was no longer the person. I was above it, and I saw myself die.
You saw yourself die?
I saw myself die in a fire.
In the first hypnosis thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so because he came in with his notes, it seemed like, of stuff that you had said, and then kind of seemed to bring you back to the same place. Ryan, I'm looking at your eyes. You just seem to be like...
Well, I'm just realizing how crazy I'm sounding right now.
No, I mean, we all heard it.
Yeah, but
we were all there.
This shit's crazy.
So now, Ryan, do you believe in hypnotherapy? Like,
yeah, I guess I have to. I remember thinking back to, like, we had like a high school lock-in after graduation. They had hypnosis or... a hypnotist there, and he made all these people just act like jackasses, and like one dude almost started beating off. And then
you seem totally willing to have anything suggested to you.
I totally believe in it now. It's really weird.
So now, what do you think was happening? Like, obviously, do you believe in past lives?
I guess I don't disbelieve in it now.
So did this change your belief at all on like karma or anything?
I would say he has a clever way of tapping into one's imagination, I guess. I don't know. I guess I can't fully believe in the whole reincarnation thing.
So it didn't change your feelings on reincarnation, but it did change your feelings on hypnosis and, you know, hypnotherapy, stuff like that?
I think it ties in with the whole, like, you know, 90% of your brain is just this...
So you think he was able to kind
unexplored,
of...
unknown
He was
abyss,
kind of able
you know?
To tap into your subconscious and kind of get you to kind of tap into stuff and said, like, this imagination, this kind of crap laying around, he was able to kind of get you to form a past life and then get you to bring that up? Is that what you think would happen?
Or even to the point of, like, maybe pieces of the brain we don't understand yet are where memories from your past life are stored. Can I just bring up one thing?
Sure, I saw you taking some notes there.
No, it was just one note, and it was a great note. He said this with so profoundly, like it was what we call the fifth dimension.
I noticed that too. And when he said it, he made this face, like expecting.
I also like when I said,
"Take that in."
And you're just Dr. Bruce Goldberg. He's like, "Yes, just Dr. Bruce."
Wait a minute, you skipped over a whole dimension.
He took he took real offense to that. Now, what do you? Wow, man, this is. I gotta say, this is definitely an interesting guy. Are you gonna go to the workshop, Ryan?
When is it again?
It's September 26th.
Is that a Sunday or a Saturday?
I don't know. We can look that up.
Yeah, that's definitely football season, right?
Wait.
Yeah, that's actually a Saturday. So
Got Virginia Tech probably, right? Football?
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to get him
Dr. Bruce.
I was trying to get him to talk about how you could use it for, monetary purposes by transforming, into the future and getting some picks like Back to the Future 2 there.
Oh man, get that almanac.
So now, Ryan, how do you feel now? Do you feel any different? Are you mentally? Are you a little shaken up?
You know what? I was really dehydrated, which is strange. Right?
Do you think that's related?
Maybe all that Civil War fighting.
Maybe
tired.
It was the fire. Maybe just having that fire.
That's extra creepy, dude. this is gonna ruin my night. I'm not.
So Ryan, could you say your mind was blown by Dr. Bruce Goldberg?
Oh yeah. Yeah, in fact, so much so that I'm going to suggest we put a picture of Dr. Bruce Goldberg on the Wall of Fame in our garage.
Oh, wow. In the heralded comedy garage.
Yeah, perhaps a bust of him, maybe.
Perhaps we can include a headshot. I know this CD is definitely going to go into our CD rotation.
Oh, man. Imagine the good times that will come when the Super Shuffle hits up the Dr. Bruce disc.
Oh, awesome. And we can totally use it to score chicks. Get them to talk about their past lives and stuff. Man, I'm excited. Logan, what was your take on the whole experience?
I don't know. I was just watching Ryan and the doctor pretty closely.
Did you? Now, because he said just be quiet, and I'm just watching it, but just hearing his voice through the headphones, did you kind of feel like I got to be honest, I felt kind of weird, not necessarily like, or just kind of out of it. Like just that calming voice and that word, like I feel like if I was trying to focus on it, I could relax. What was your take on it?
I didn't feel that really, but I don't know. I think maybe I have a phobia about being hypnotized or something.
Originally the plan was to get Logan to talk about his past life regression, but he was freaked out by it.
Yeah,
so he said no to it.
Because I've seen that happen before, and like you said, like you were talking about somebody in your school almost masturbating. I went to this OU thing where they had a hypnotist come on stage in front of thousands of people, and they got like 10 people up and hypnotized them all. And then, well, first of all, your brain is in this guy's hands. These kids who just graduated high school are trusting this guy, and he tells them they're watching a funny cartoon, and then all of a sudden they're watching porn. And haha, oh, it's a good time because. So whatever, but what I would have done is start unzipping my pants if I was on that stage. That terrifies me, so I will, like...
So you were worried... Know. Basically, you were worried Dr. Bruce was going to try to fuck you, right, Logan?
Or something. No. I'm just saying, like, do something embarrassing. Who knows? Who the fuck knows what's going on in my
brain? No, you just missed out on an awesome past life.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I couldn't stress more how much I thought it was complete bullshit.
And you were totally convinced. So I guess...
And I was thinking, like, oh, this might be funnier if I just... answer with funny questions or funny answers, but
no, it was much funnier just watching you actually be hypnotized and think that you're a Civil War soldier named Mick who died in a fire in New Hampshire. Well, Jesus Christ, what a show. I mean, what better testimony to Dr. Bruce Goldberg than Ryan, a true skeptic, a cynical New Jerseyite, going into this thinking it was total bullshit and coming out of it with a new perspective. So make sure you check out Dr. Bruce Goldberg.com. Make sure you check out Ryan. You can maybe Ryan will send a few tweets about this. You can check him out on Twitter /KramerCentric. Logan, where can people get you?
TheYellowMike.com.
Okay, Logan's got a lot of programs on there. Logan, it's been a very Zen spiritual show. Would you like to take us out with a haiku?
Absolutely, I would.
All right.
Let's do this. Ryan hypnotized. No, let me finish. You're not listening.
Okay. All right. Throwing in a Dr. Bruce quote in there, in the haiku. Thank you, everyone, for listening to The Green Room every Thursday, 8 o'clock, LA Talk Radio. All right. All right, that's it. I'm out.
Thank you for listening to The Green Room. Don't forget to subscribe to The Green Room on iTunes, and be sure to check out LegalZoom.com for all of your self-help legal needs. Referral code GREEN for The Green Room discount, and visit SeanTGreen.com.
He thought